Open your Bibles this morning to Colossians chapter 1. While you're doing that, Jesus is more excellent than anything in creation. He rules over everything that has ever been or ever will be. As Christians, I think sometimes it's easy for His approachability, His availability, His friendship. Those things can distract us. They can become so comfortable that we forget to also be in awe of Jesus. I hope our passage today will inspire us to be more impressed with our King and our Savior. Now pray with me just briefly one more time. Father, of my own strength and my own wisdom, I am incapable of adequately describing the glory of your Son. I need your Spirit this morning to help me with my words and to help the congregation with our hearts, that I might speak well and that the words might be heard well, that we might all be moved to just be more impressed with who your Son is and what He's done. Father, may your word be proclaimed clearly this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't have a long introduction. Let's just jump right into the text. We'll be reading Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. This passage is one of the most glorious descriptions of Jesus, declaring His preeminence over all things. I don't know, for the past 10 or 15 years, I would probably describe this, not to diminish any other scripture, any other thing that God has said, but I would probably describe this as my favorite passage. Jesus is more excellent than anything ever created, and He reigns over everything ever created. As we look at this passage today, we'll see two things. One, Jesus is before and above all creation, and two, in Him we have redemption, which He also is over. But let's dive in. He is the image of the invisible God. You hear that word image, and you're likely, if you're well-versed in your Bible, you're likely to think of the creation story in Genesis 1. So God created man in His own image. But there's an important distinction between the image-bearing that Jesus has and the image-bearing that we have. I'm going to be turning a lot of pages today. Let's just look quickly at the passage in Genesis. God said, this is Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Back to our Colossians passage, He is the image of the invisible God. We are a likeness. We are created in His image. Jesus is not in His image. Jesus is the image. Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. Notice there the Trinity is present. Jesus is present even there. And Notice the Trinity has one image. Let us, the Trinity, make man in our own image, not images. The image is Jesus. John says, no one has seen the Father except he who is from God, meaning Jesus. He who is from God is Jesus. Jesus is the only one who has seen the Father. No one else has. Because Jesus is the image bearer, when we see God, we see Jesus. It's Jesus that we're seeing. The Old Testament is littered with Christophanies. That's when Christ makes, or when God makes an appearance. Christ makes an appearance in the Old Testament. Lots and lots of occasions, but I just want to show you an example in Genesis chapter 32, the story of Jacob wrestling with God. You may be familiar with it, but let's just look at it quickly. Genesis 32, verses 22 through 32. The same night he arose, he being Jacob, arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had, and Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with Jacob until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed, as he passed Penuel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. Notice Jacob clearly says, "I have seen God face to face." But wait, didn't John say, "No one has seen the Father"? Right. It's because Jacob saw Jesus. Jesus is God. If no one has seen the Father, but Jacob saw God, Jacob must have seen the one who is the image of the invisible God. He is the image of the invisible God. He's also the firstborn of all creation. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Let's think about this one a little bit. Lots of the cults get this wrong. They misunderstand what's being said by Jesus being firstborn of all creation. The Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, both get it wrong. I've also heard Baptist Sunday school teachers get this wrong. One told one of my children one time that Jesus was created when he was born of Mary. Of course, Jesus was born, right? I mean, you're familiar with the story. Virgin Mary, manger, wise men, right? You know the story. Jesus was born. But in that story, he was born 4,000 years after creation. How can he be the firstborn of all creation? Well, let's keep reading, because the passage actually explains itself. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him, the word "for" there is an indicator that we're about to explain what we just said. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. The explanation of that is, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. So the explanation has nothing to do with the chronology of history, does it? It has to do with his position among creation. Psalm 89, verse 27. This is God speaking of King David. God says of King David, "And I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth." How can this be? David was the youngest of Jesse's seven sons. Firstborn? God put him in the position. God put King David in the position of firstborn. God said of David, "I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth." God did that. He gave David the kingdom. David ruled over all Israel, even his brothers. Of course, David was a type of Jesus, a foretelling of the true king to come, the true firstborn of all creation that was yet to come. So by Jesus, by him, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. By him all things were created. All things were created through him and for him. You've probably seen this before, but let's look at it again and be reminded of how glorious it is. The beginning of the book of John, the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. You catch what passage John is throwing back to? Genesis 1, the beginning of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning the first day. In John chapter 1, John is telling us that Jesus, the Jesus that is the Word of God that spoke. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble with my words here. John is telling us that Jesus, the Word of God, is the Word that spoke creation into being. And of course, as confirmation, we already saw that Jesus, the image of the invisible God, was present at creation, back again in verses 26 and 27. Let us make man in our image, that image being Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth. Do you see what he created? All things. No trick questions. He created all things. Which things? Visible things. Light, the sea, the sky, the land. This is in Genesis chapter 1. Light, the sea, the sky, the land, plants, trees, fruit, the sun, the moon, the stars, fish, birds, land animals, bugs, creepy things that crawl on the earth. And of course, man, woman. But what else? Those are the visible things. What else did he create? The invisible things. Thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities. Not only does this mean the thrones, dominions, rulers, and authorities that we can see, King David, King Herod, President Biden, Vladimir Putin, those are rulers and authorities that we see, that we know historically or currently, but also the invisible thrones, rulers, dominions, authorities, the angelic realm, the cherubim and seraphim. Ephesians chapter 6. Helps us to know something about who these are also. The invisible rulers and authorities. Paul, concluding his letter to the Ephesians, tells them to put on the armor of God. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Dominions, rulers, authorities, thrones, invisible. They were all created by Him and for Him. And see the end of this verse? These things, which things? All things, visible and invisible. They were all created for Him. By Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created through Him and for Him. So even those wicked things were created for Jesus. God is putting all things into subjection under Jesus. He rules over all things because they are His. Paul, earlier in his letter to the Ephesians at the beginning, says, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith, talking to the church in Ephesus, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. There are those words again. Not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things under His, Jesus' feet, and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Jesus rules over all things because they are His. God the Father has seated Jesus at His right hand above all the rule, authority, power, and dominion, above every name that will ever be named, and put all things visible and invisible under His feet. All things are for Jesus. Verse 17 of Colossians chapter 1, and He is before all things. We've mostly already covered this. He is before all things chronologically. He's the Word by which all things were created. He had to exist before all things. He's also before all things positionally as the firstborn of creation. So He's before all things, and in Him all things hold together. This is my take. It's a little extra biblical, but my take on what this might mean in a real, very real physical sense. I don't want to negate any, you know, scientific understanding of these things, but I think that at the same time that our understanding of electromagnetism and gravity and other forces like that are good. I think that those things are held together and sustained by Jesus. All those little forces that hold atoms and molecules together. Studied some of that stuff in college all the way back because I had to. It's interesting. I don't understand all that stuff. Somebody probably understands it a lot better than I do. But what I do understand, what I do believe is true, is that that stuff would stop working if the Lord who spoke them into existence stopped maintaining them. I think everything would just fly apart. In Him, all things hold together. I think Jesus literally holds all things together, just as he literally created all things by the power of his word. I might have a little bit of a misunderstanding of that. I don't have biblical evidence to support it, and I really like to have biblical evidence to support the things I say up here. So I might be wrong about that, but keep it if it's helpful. The Bible does, however, offer some explanation of what this might mean. In Acts 17, Paul says, "He himself," meaning Jesus, "he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." And then further down the page, "In him we live and move and have our being." Jesus holds all things together. Isaiah 42:5 says, "Thus says God, the Lord who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it." God gives us breath and spirit. He gives us our every breath. He sustains his creation and even our lives, our breath. Our passage in Colossians starts to take a little bit of a turn. Then at the beginning of verse 18, the whole passage, all verses 15 through 20, all address Jesus' position relative to his creation. But now we start to see his position in redemptive history as well. He is the head of the body, the church. First Corinthians chapter 12 describes the church as this: "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many." And further down the page, "But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." Another helpful description in Ephesians 5. "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. God has given us, his church, his chosen people, in submission under Jesus Christ, our head. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. He is the beginning in all things. But here, in verse 18, he is particularly the beginning of redemption. He is the beginning of salvation. Second Corinthians 4. "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show the surpassing power, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. He was put to death and resurrected first, so that we might die and be born again like him, and through that death and resurrection become members of his body. And he did this that in everything he might be preeminent. Eminent simply means to surpass, to be well known or prominent. Above all things, you might say. Pre, before. To be preeminent is to be before and over all things. Jesus is before and over redemption because he bought us. He redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. He bought us with his blood. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. That's verse 19. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven. To reconcile is to work out the differences or to resolve the differences between two things. You ever reconcile your checkbook? I'm an accountant. Sometimes we reconcile a checkbook or reconcile a bank statement. What you're doing is you're taking your checkbook, taking your checkbook, and you're taking your bank statement, and you're resolving the differences between the two. Oh, well, I wrote this check, but it hasn't cleared the bank yet. You know, finding items like that. Or, ooh, I made a mistake in adding this thing. Or, oh, the bank made a mistake in subtracting this thing. You know, whatever it is. You're finding the differences between your checkbook and the bank statement. That's reconciling. Relationships, we reconcile in relationships, don't we? If my wife and I, on the just super rare occasion that we come to some disagreement over something, we have to work through the differences and reconcile. Well, the same is true with us and God, because we are, by nature and by birth, by inheritance from the first Adam, we are sinners. We have to be reconciled to God. The differences have to be worked out. The differences have to be resolved. Jesus resolved the difference between the holy God and rebellious men by taking the necessary punishment for us. And indeed, he is reconciling all things to himself. The cursed earth he will recreate. He will judge and sentence to death the unrepentant. He's redeeming for himself his elect, making peace by the blood of his cross. We're going to get out of here really early today. Jesus. He is Son of God. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. He is Prince of Peace. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Lamb of God. He is Jesus, the Deliverer. He is Christ, the Anointed One. He is Savior, Redeemer, the True Light, the Son of the Living God, the True Vine, the Beloved Son. He is the Holy One of Israel, Wonderful Counselor, Bread of Life, King of the Jews, Head of the Church, Mediator between God and man, High Priest, Prophet, Good Shepherd, the Word, the Cornerstone, the Rock, the Lion of Judah. He is the Way, the Truth, and the Life. He is the I Am. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominion or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross.